Usually, if you want to do something, you want to achieve an objective, you always have a strategy, you have a plan, and then you say, I would go step by step towards this because it would give me happiness, it would give me comfort, it would give me joy. How do we plan to go step by step towards something that will give us discomfort, that will give us unhappiness, that would, you know, take away the joy that God has given us? So this message of repentance, and the thing we really need to ask ourselves is, what do we need to repent from? We need to repent from our sins, from our misdeeds, from our actions. Because the issue is that it's not a question of Mr. A versus Mr. B, or Mrs. A versus Mr. B, or, you know, vice versa. It's a question of between us and God. What is God's plan for us? What does he want us to do? And what is the consequence of not doing what he wants us to do? The thing I notice is that because we do not want to perish and suffer the consequences of hell, we must find it within ourselves to change when God does not approve our way. Now, that is a very difficult thing for us as human beings, because we are more used to our ways. Because by human nature, we tend to think short term. We tend to think of the immediate things around us and how that works out and gives us temporary comfort. But the thing about sin is that sin is sugar coated poison. It is sugar coated poison. So when you take the poison, it goes into your mouth. You first thing you are feeling is the sugar. You don't feel the poison. At the stage at which you now feel the poison, it's too late. And that's what we don't want. But God is now saying that even when you've taken the sugar out of the poison, he wants to take the poison away from you so that you don't have eternal damnation. All you need to do is retrace your steps and go back and say, I will sin no more. And most of the time, these days, I listen to a lot of preachers on the television, and they continue to emphasize material things, money. They are raising money and raising a lot of money. Of course, we cannot run the ministry without money. It's not possible. And there is, you know, for us as Christians, we have to support the ministry. There's tithe, there's offering. All these are important. But I see these preachers, they collect this money. They buy a private jet. They buy this estate. They buy that estate. And then they have to do the bazaar inside the church, you know, which is what our Lord Jesus Christ said, no, 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 drove them out of the temple. They sell everything, DVD, tapes. You just need to go to 580 on the Sky Channels and beyond, and then you see all these commercial activities. And the thing is that it is now becoming like Christianity is the business of rich people. So if you are poor, if you don't have money, you cannot be a Christian. Because even some of them are bold enough to say that if you don't give your tithe and offering to them, they can't pray for you. Where in the Bible does it say? And this is something that is very worrying. Because when you now see Christian leaders who are now amassing so much wealth and flaunting the wealth, and it's now very common even in a place like Africa, they are now having pastors who are competing to buy private jets in a continent where, you know, some people are on less than 50 p a day. How do you justify collecting tithe and offering from that type of person to go and buy a private jet and be jetting around the world? There's no way in this world that we can justify these things. And also, it also exposes us as Christians sometimes to criticism by the Muslims. Even the Muslim preachers, I don't see them collecting all this money like I see all these things that they are doing on some of the Christian churches. It's not, by the way, it's not every minister that does this. It's not every minister. But there are some who have commercialized Christianity. Christianity is not, it's not a product that you commercialize. Freely you have received, freely you shall give. It's not somebody now gives a message and is trying to make profit by selling the message to buy a Cadillac. It doesn't make sense. Because already, that person is contravening the Bible. Freely you have received. How can you sell the word of God and want to make profit out of it? And then you say, oh, you know this suit? I hear some of them. I bought this suit, $7,000. And so what? Who cares? Is that what you are going to show in heaven? You have bought a suit by collecting money from poor people. So the world we live in today is one that calls for a lot of reflection on where Christianity is going. How other religions that we are supposed to bring to Christianity, how they will look at us. Because I don't even see the Muslim preachers collecting so much money from their brethren. It's interesting that the Muslim people are telling their people to give alms to the poor. And then some of the Christian preachers, they are collecting tithe and offering from the poor and enriching themselves, feeding fat. And that is what our Lord Jesus Christ said, no, no, no. And that's where Christians really have to wake up and say to a lot of these people that don't give Christianity a bad name. Don't take Christianity in the wrong direction. It's time for repentance. Actually, the message should be repentance. A lot of the messages I hear is about miracles. Somebody touches somebody's head and then the person jumps up and says that they have been healed. Then we have to close down all the hospitals. That is not what Christianity... Our Lord Jesus Christ was healing people. But if you go and read the Bible, it was always with the message. The message is not about... Christianity is not a hospital. Christianity is about salvation. It's about spiritual salvation. The healing was just a part of the parcel. Our Lord Jesus Christ was giving the message to people. Always. Always giving the message. I see people even no message. They say, I'm lame. We're not magicians. And that is what our Lord Jesus Christ was preaching against. And this is what a lot of these people are now doing in the name of Christianity. And we have to be wary. That where are we going? So repentance is needed because we are all guilty of sin. If we look at Romans 3:23, and sin is a transgression of God. Romans 3:23, please. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And in 24 it says, and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. So we have had this opportunity, the second chance to get back and connect with God. Because when we travel in this world, without God, without Christ, we are like a sheep without a shepherd. A sheep without a shepherd is definitely a lost sheep. There's no question about that. Because all that happens is that that sheep is not making any progress. It will just be running wild and most likely running around in circles. So, yes. So, repentance means then that we are making a change from doing our will to God's will and not feeling sorry for our error. One of the things that we really need to ask ourselves is, as we are living in this world, are we living according to our own will or are we living according to God's will? And I can tell you, there's no human being who can say 100% they are living according to God's will. I don't think there is any living person. That is why sin is still in the world. There's no living, but that is what we have to strive towards. But when we live according to our own will, 100%, then there will be total chaos and total anarchy. Because what we are saying is that we are now our own God, and then we have to worship our own selves, and we are now trying to attract other people to worship you, which is something that it's an abomination before God. It's not something that... And then the issue is that human wisdom is very limited. Actually, human wisdom is foolishness before God. We find out that if we live according to our own wish, there will continue to be all the problems in this world. The wars in this world, the chaos, the economic problems. Because human beings want to fashion things in their own way. And by human nature, we are self-centered, we are selfish. So there is no way, if you live according to your own will, you will be fair to others. It's not possible. You will be fair to yourself. You will not be fair to others. You will see things only through your own prism. You will not see. And if everybody now starts to operate like that, then you can imagine what we will be going through in this world. You want to maximize profits when you do business. So human feeling is irrelevant. And that is why, you know, the people who are involved with labor and things like that, they evolved this technique called, or this method called human resources. So you have an office, and then in the old days, and I'm still young, it will be called personnel department. And later, they say no, it will be human resources. Now, there are two sides to human resources. There is the soft side, and there is the hard side. Now, you have your staff, you have your colleagues. How do you see them? Do you see them as human beings, or do you see them just as a resource? A resource, you don't have to care about the welfare of a resource. It's just a resource. It's like a table or a car. You don't care. You know. And usually, experts who studied these issues for many years found out that the organizations that thrived most are the ones that are more tilted towards seeing their staff as humans rather than seeing them as resources. Because immediately your organization sees you as a resource to be used and to be discarded, you also see your organization as a resource to be used and to be discarded as well. And that is what God was trying to get across to us. See, love your neighbor as yourself. Don't see your neighbor as a resource. And your neighbor must not see you as a resource. You must see both sides as humans, with human feelings, with human limitations. That is why forgiveness is very important. There is no way human beings would interact with each other without offending each other from time to time, because we are not perfect. Nobody is perfect. But there is that allowance for forgiveness. So you forgive your neighbor forgives you. The world is a better place. You don't forgive your neighbor doesn't forgive you, then we are in anarchy. There is chaos. We are heading for total destruction. And that's what God is trying to guide us away from. See, many go away sorrowful when they know their life is at odds with God's way, but they never repent. Maybe we look at the book of Mark 10, 17 to 22. So as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him and said to him, "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" This is a question that we all would have been asking, and that's why we are committed Christians. The first thing our Lord Jesus Christ says to him, "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered, "No one is good except God alone." No one, so no one is perfect. So our neighbor would offend us, we would offend our neighbors. We must forgive each other. Verse 19. "You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all this I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said, "go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Now, this is the issue. The issue is, if we tell all these people, and I'm not singling out anybody that I see on the television who have amassed a lot of the wealth, and they build schools that even the brethren who contributed money cannot send their children to, and say, "Go and sell all these things for you to have eternal life, then you would know whether they are truly Christians or not. So the thing is that Christianity is not about being poor. A Christian actually has no business with poverty, because a Christian is blessed. So Abraham lived in this earth as a rich man, and in heaven again, in the bosom of, he's rich. So he's not poor. So we don't have to be poor. But we don't have to also acquire things in unacceptable biblical ways. We must not do that. So a Christian cannot wake up now and all he's doing is manufacturing arms and selling arms. And then he comes and says, I give my tithe to the Lord. The Bible says, thou shalt not kill. Then your own business, you are the arms manufacturer. And then you say that you are a Christian. There's something about a pastor in Africa I was reading about last week. He owned a private jet, which he collected money from the brethren to buy. And then he was assisting Nigerian government. He rented out this private jet to be buying arms in South Africa. How on earth? What is a pastor doing with purchase of arms? And he couldn't see what was wrong with that. He said he was doing business. But this is what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. Don't murder. This guy said, I've met that requirement. He said, okay, go and sell everything, all this private. Bring it. The guy says, oh my goodness, this is too much. So this really is food for thought for us. Are we living according to our own laws? Or are we living according to the will of God? The best way is to live according to the will of God. And that should be our focus. That is the theme of my message this morning. God bless you. Can we just have another quick word of prayer? Father Lord, we thank you. We worship you. We glorify you. We thank you for the opportunity to share this message this morning. We pray, Father Lord, that we will not only be hearers of your word, but doers of your word. In Jesus' mighty and victorious name we pray. Amen.